Welcome to the Three Pillars of D&D cast. I'm Jesse.
I'm Emma.
I'm Tyler, and today we're talking about Ranger.
Yeah, Rangers are the warriors of the wilderness. Rangers specialize in hunting the monsters that threaten the edges of civilization. Humanoid raiders, rampaging beasts and monstrosities, terrible giants, and deadly dragons. They learn to track their quarry as a predator does, moving stealthily through the wilds and hiding themselves in brush and rubble.
Some specialize in hunting dweebs who stick to script way too much.
Exactly.
So let's get started.
All right. So Rangers are your supposed to be like your wilderness survival. Your people, you could obviously make your city version of Rangers as well, but they're really meant to be your survivalists.
The ones who knows what's going on in the wilderness and like.
Yeah, they're best trackers. The people who, you know, who know all the best routes and all the best paths and things like that. They can be your scouts and your armies, you know, things like that. What was best someone said earlier today, they're like a rogue and a druid combined. Yeah, that was Tyler. They said that. And that's a pretty good description overall. They're definitely a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
In their own way.
Rogues have a connection to nature more than like a typical being that allows them to get their magic, but since they aren't as close to nature as druids, they also have to, they have to use, like, the foliage of nature, like, hiding the trees and bushes is to their advantage.
Yeah, and they sacrifice specialization for versatility to a certain degree, and I would say that they're your premier exploration style character.
Yeah, they sacrifice specialization in some areas, but they also have a lot of specialization in themselves.
Yeah.
Especially the normal version.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that are pretty unique to the Ranger, which makes them very good for certain kind of campaigns and very bad for others.
But we'll get into that.
Yeah, I do think that the nice thing about Tasha's is it opened up Rangers to be a lot better in more campaigns.
Yeah, and Xanthar's and the Tasha subclasses definitely helped them as well.
Oh, yeah, because the Player's Handbook ones were very focused, we'll say.
Yeah.
I was very specific aspects of the Ranger, and I think that Xanathar's Guide and Tasha's really opened them up to a lot better options, in my opinion. Most people who talk about Rangers, they talk about the Ranger from Lord of the Rings. We're not a big Lord of the Rings family here. I know that it gets blackballed in the D&D community, but we don't really watch that stuff.
If you're my Sonya, I'm just joking. I don't watch it.
I've read half like the pre-book.
Yeah, so we're not big Lord of the Rings fans around here, but I have read one series of books I really enjoyed called the Ranger's Apprentice series by John Flanagan.
He's all of them.
And he's like 20 some books or so in set in his world. They're all great. They've all really good Rangers. They're really good example Rangers. They're all about diligence and practice. Not a lot of magic and stuff in there, so it's more like reality, like based kind of things. Still kind of crazy and fantastical. A good read. If you're into fantasy stuff, you might really enjoy that. So that's where I get a lot of my inspiration for Rangers from. And it's really hard to find any other ones.
You really can't.
There's just not a lot.
I get druids and rangers mixed up in media because they don't act a lot the same, but they look so much the same in media that people are like, this is a ranger, but it's a druid.
Yeah.
And you don't see any rangers in the media. Like, I think this, like, Lord of the Rings, and the Rangers Apprentice series are the only two series I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah,
that has good Rangers.
How I visualize Ranger is like a hunter, like someone that like goes to the forest like for game, like for like, you know, like that hunts like deers and
yeah,
birds and stuff, like, and has like a dog, you know, companion.
So there's a lot of real world examples you can pull, like, you know,
yeah,
those hunters and anybody.
Yeah, but what most hunters want to be.
Yeah.
But we all know those people who don't actually know what they're talking about who claim to be hunters. They all want to be Rangers. So Rangers, in its own way, Rangers are kind of, with the exception of Lord of the Rings, which obviously was the inspiration for it, Rangers are very much a D&D thing.
Yeah.
So it stands out. It's different.
Yeah, so it's weird that, like, I've always thought of that. Like, Rangers in D&D aren't used a lot.
Yeah.
Because people say that they're very basic, but they're the only things you ever see in, like, most media that are, like, correctly, like, used. Like, make a good Ranger, you've made a Ranger that you could probably use in, like, four different other games.
Yeah. There are a lot of video games that have some Ranger-esque things, but
they're not true Rangers.
Yeah, I can't think of any of them off the top of my head. So let's go over the Ranger stuff.
Woo! Okay, so Rangers start with 1d10 hit dice. That's a good amount. That's,
comparable with fighters and paladins. Yeah.
Yeah, right up there. Yeah.
Only beat by a barbarian.
So they can be your kind of tanky, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, because you don't get heavy armor.
So, yeah, the armor are light armor, medium armor, shields. So
they can be more tanky because they have the shields.
The shields and the medium, if you want to do the medium armor and the shields, you can be a little more tanky. It's just not what people usually do with a Ranger, but you could do what you want. Weapons are simple and martial, so they can do any weapon that you can think of.
You can't do what you want. You have to comply by strict rules of D&D.
Oh, yes, sorry. You need to be typical like everyone else.
Yeah, you need to be basic.
Ooh, I have.
Be a basic geek, yo.
Yeah, you can't have creativity or originality.
Yeah, this is a role playing game, not a.
Not a role playing game.
Yeah.
God, the look on your face is great.
The saving throws are strength and dexterity. Now, I don't actually understand strength. I get the dexterity. They should be able to dodge things, you know, and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't see Rangers as a strength class.
I'm guessing it's because, like, in the survival, a lot of the survivalists, people who go out for, like, a week with no food.
I know, but constitution feels...
Yeah,
constitution feels better, in my opinion, but, like, apparently you need a lot of strength to, like, lift up logs to make a house. Or, you know,
Rangers are all about being clever. A ranger would, like, lift up a log. The ranger would, like, tie a rope to it.
Or, you know, jump over it because it's a log.
Like, yeah, tie a rope to it and, like, you know, lift it up, like...
Yeah, use a pulley system or something. Yeah. But, yeah, I just don't quite get it, but, you know, that's what they are, so... I don't... So, when it comes to skills, you get to choose three from animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival. So, this is one of the things that's really nice about the Ranger, is that they get to have three skills, which, you know... I'm a big skill hog.
It's only
I love
really
them.
Are you love them.
It's tied by bard, only beat by ranger.
Yeah.
Sorry, by rogue.
By rogue.
Rangers beat by ranger.
So, our social interaction skills are going to be animal handling, insight, and that's about it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then our exploration are going to be investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival.
Yeah.
Possibly athletics.
Possibly athletics. Athletics also kind of falls into combat.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation, you can use it both. Nature can sometimes have a social interaction aspect if you're talking to somebody about nature. You know,
animal handling could be social interaction.
Oh, it is. Yeah, we said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I consider talking with animals or playing always to be a social interaction.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Or dealing with them.
Well, animal handling isn't being able to talk to animals. It's being able to, like, you know, calm a wild dog.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, communication isn't just about what the words that come out of your mouth. It's the nonverbal stuff as
yeah,
well.
It's
your and that's what animal handling is, it's your nonverbal one. And knowledge about how to handle an animal in general, like what they're supposed to eat and how you're supposed to you know, how you brush your horse and, you know, things like that.
You brush your horse too rough, then they'll actually, you know, try to attack you.
Yeah, which you don't want a horse to attack you.
Now, also, again, why is legs instead of acrobatics?
Yeah, there's something about rangers that I don't quite get, that the D&D 5e seems to think rangers are.
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't. Maybe I'm thinking about rangers wrong.
Maybe we're all just bad at making rangers.
No. The whole point of, like, part of their, like, whole shtick is, like, they're really good with a bow.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, whole subclasses that remove the bow from the whole thing.
There are?
Not really,
but, like, you know, if your whole thing is with a bow, and you specialize on that. But if you don't use a bow, you can still be a ranger, which is, like, the weirdest thing.
Yeah, well, but versatile weapons are really powerful as a ranger. You know, most, because they only get one extra attack, they're encouraged to dual wield.
Oh. So you mean finesse weapons?
Well, that's a lot of them are finesse weapons are all, or, yeah, sorry, yeah, finesse.
Finesse.
But yeah, a lot of finesse weapons are light.
Well, actually, now that I do think about it, if you use a longbow, you gotta be strong. In D&D, it doesn't match up because the stat points, you get bonuses to your long range attacks with your dexterity bonuses and things like that. Your strength bonus doesn't come into it. But actually, to use a bow, you need to be strong.
Just but to actually hit with that bow, you need to, you know, have good fingers, know where you're going, be dexterous.
Exactly, but you can't even use a bow if you don't have strength. So, like,
that's a little stringy, but not super.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's, you're only pulling on a string. The thing is, if you're too strong, you break that string.
Well,
or anything else. So you really can't. So anybody can use a bow because you can't be too strong, but you can't be too weak, so that means you can build up some muscle. So it's this weird in-between area.
Yeah, but, like, people who use a bow have super strong arms. Because, like, a compound longbow is hard. Like, it takes, like, 80 pounds of foot strength to do that. Like,
yes, but not all rangers have to use long bows. There's short bows, or there's crossbows.
Exactly. There are options. But, I mean, I'm just trying to justify their strength focus.
I still don't get it.
It's still dumb. When it comes to skills, really, you're going to want to take survival. I mean, that's kind of what you do as a ranger, to be honest. Like, it's usually your tracking and, you know, things like that. And some of your other abilities take advantage of of survival. So you really want to, I think that's just kind of a one you really want to choose. After that, depending on what kind of range you are, you want to do different things. Obviously, you're going to want animal handling. If you had to have, like, an animal companion, it kind of makes sense. There's different kinds of rangers. So insight and investigation, you know, have their places in perception. Stealth is pretty good if you want to stalk in the woods and do things. And nature, if you want to be more druidic in your application of your ranger. So,
so at level one, you choose either favorite enemy or favorite foe.
And that's if you have Dasha's Cauldron of Everything. We do, and that's how we're discussing things.
Yes.
So we're going to start with favorite enemy. That one appears in the player's handbook.
You have experience in studying, tracking, hunting, or even talking to a certain type of Anyway, you choose an enemy type, you know, like aberrations, celestials, beasts, oozes, etc. Or that is a humanoid. Or you can choose two races of humanoids, like an elf or a dwarf or an Erkakra or a Yonti.
Or a race you can pronounce.
Or, you know.
You know, screw you.
Any other race.
Yes. Favorite enemy, do you have advantage on wisdom, or do you have advantage on survival checks to track your favorite enemies, as well as intelligence checks to recall information about them?
To gain this feature, you also learn one language of your choice that is spoken by your favorite enemies, if they speak one at all. You choose one additional favorite enemy and its associated language at 14th level. As you gain levels of choice, it should reflect the types of monsters you've encountered on your adventures. Is a general idea.
The language doesn't have to be shared by the enemy, though. You can choose any language at all.
Yeah, this is one of those abilities that, like, really favors if you need a lot of languages for, like, social interaction. You're going to be traveling to a lot of places. And, you know, if you're changing a ranger, you're probably going to be traveling. That's kind of the idea. You want to be in a campaign when you travel a lot. You're by the time it's all said and done, if you go with this path for the ranger, you're going to know a lot of languages, and you're going to be really good at killing a very specific tailored set of enemies that you have set yourself up for. Alternatively, you can choose the favored foe from Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Favorite foe, when you hit a creature with an attack roll, you can call on your mystical bond with nature to mark the target as your favorite enemy for 1 minute or until you lose your concentration. I think really good. I can't tell though. Not great.
Well, yeah, this one you don't want to focus on making a constitution. Yeah. Heavy ranger if you go with this build. The first time on each of your turns that you hit the favorite enemy and deal damage to it, including when you mark it, you can increase that damage by a d4. You can use this feature to mark a favorite enemy a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
So this actually works with the first layer feature.
Which is the level 20 feature you get.
Yes, which is nice. And this feature is extra damage increases when you reach certain levels in this class, to 1d6 at 6th level and to 1d8 at 14th.
So, when you compare and contrast the two of them, you can see that they both get bonuses or more options at level 6 and better at level 14. The big difference here is you want to choose the favored, was it favored enemy?
Yes, favored enemy.
Yeah, you want to choose favored enemy if you're going to be striking, like, very specific foes. Mm-hmm. And you know you're going to focus on those in your campaign.
Okay, so favorite enemy is for races.
Yeah.
No! What I meant, like, in D&D, like, they're called races, like goblins and orcs.
Oh, I thought you said that. I thought you meant your ranger was a racist.
No! I mean, that's, like, part of the joke, but you didn't really get it, did ya?
No, but, so favorite enemy, though, is for if you're going to run in a campaign where you have very specific races that you're going to be fighting against, or types of enemies that you're going to fight against.
Racist.
Or if you need to speak a lot of languages, basically. Favored foe, on the other hand, is a good general ability that lets you mark your foes, kind of like the Warlock's Hex ability or even the Hunter's Mark spell that you can get as a ranger.
Yeah, which is
nice. So it gives you a little more versatility, but since you have a limited number of uses, it's kind of different. Plus, you got to concentrate on it, too.
Okay.
Which is going to limit your ability to cast concentration spells, and you're going to, of course, have to save every time you get hit. Might be better if you're a little more on the range side of things.
Yeah.
So
Also, this is just a small tangent, but you have so many things to choose from at level one.
Yeah, this is not a class I would recommend for a brand new player.
Oh, Lord, no.
There's just so many things you have to think about at level one, and it's just, it's a little much.
Don't make a brand new player play this class, although it's hard to make a character of this class, although playing it isn't that hard.
No, playing it's not hard. I mean, if anything, I would just give a new player a ranger and say this is what you can do.
Trying to make one after you've made different characters before is difficult because you're not really used to making all the different decisions. So you're like, hold up.
You make a lot of characters. It's usually pretty easy.
Yeah, rangers are like that.
Yeah, rangers are hard. And then also level one, you get to choose between natural explorer and death explorer. If you have Tasha's card written, there's even more choices. So natural explorer, you're particularly familiar with one type of natural environment and are adept at traveling and surviving in such regions.
Choose one of the favorite terrain: Arctic, coast, desert, forest, grassland, mountain, swamp, or the Underdark.
What is Underdark?
That's the cave systems that usually exist underneath of plains.
Oh, yeah, like the
I've never had to encounter one.
Yeah, we don't usually do Underdark campaigns.
Like, out of the Abyss, that's an Underdark, campaign. It's like a completely underground society.
Cool.
Yeah, it's generally a reflection of the surface world in its own way, but it's all underground. Ew. See what you do the next part.
When you make an intelligence or wisdom check related to your favorite terrain, your proficiency bonus is doubled if you're using a skill that you're proficient in. Which is good.
Exactly. And then while traveling for an hour or more in your favorite terrain, you gain the following benefits. Difficult terrain doesn't slow your group's travel. Your group can't become lost except by magical means. And even when you are engaged in another activity while traveling, such as foraging, navigating, or tracking, you remain alert to danger.
Oh my God.
If you're traveling alone, you can move stealthily at a normal pace. And when you forage, you find twice as much food as you normally would. While tracking other creatures, you also learn their exact number, their sizes, and how long ago they passed through the area.
And you get to choose additional favorite terrain types at 6th and 10th level.
Okay.
So that's a real lot to that.
There's a lot.
There's a lot to that. And, like, so in the right campaign, that's going to be really important.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you're going to be traveling a lot, you're going to be, like, outside, you know, traveling from one location to another, you know, the fact that you can't, you're basically not going to be able to be as surprised as easily or ambushed because you're alert to danger while you're doing these things. Other classes aren't. You can find that food you need. You're not getting lost thing.
Yeah.
That's really nice. If you're not playing a campaign like that, where survival out in the woods is not something that comes up, this ability sucks.
Yeah, like if you start your campaign in the forest and then you do like a full like desert, you know, like you're constantly moving around, like most campaigns, then it's just not that good.
Yeah.
Well, even in a desert has some more uses because you can find food.
No, but you have to be the terrain you specialize in.
Oh, yeah.
So
if you don't specialize in desert, you don't get those benefits in a desert.
Yeah, I mean, creating at 6th level and 10th level, you can add a few
but
more.
Then, you know, with the luck of, you know, D&D, you would manage to be out in a desert as soon as you choose desert.
Exactly. So this is our one. This is why I think a lot of people struggled with the ranger. And I think this is why they presented the Deft Explorer option in Tasha's Culture of Everything.
You really have to talk to your DM before taking this ability.
Yeah, this Ranger is a very Session Zero intensive character.
Yeah, you really have to be in connection. So this can't be like you've never played with this group before, you're meeting them today type of thing.
Yeah, you don't know the campaign.
You don't know it. You have to be able to talk with your DM and be like, hey, I want to make a ranger. And then your DM has to be like, oh, Lord.
Yeah. I mean, if your DM is like, hey, most of this campaign is going to take place in cities and forests, but we're in a lot of forests traveling around, then yeah, that's great. Or say you're in the Dark Sun campaign setting, which is almost exclusively the desert. Well, yeah, you could take the desert terrain and do quite well, and then maybe in sixth level take Underdark, so that when you're in the underground parts of Dark Sun, you're okay as well, right? Yeah,
it's Dark Sun.
It's a really great campaign setting. They haven't brought it into 5e.
Depressive.
But it's where most of the psionics came from. It's a very psionic-heavy campaign setting, and it's a desert world.
What do you say it's called?
It's called Dark Sun.
Dark Sun.
So while Tyler looks up that, let's talk about the Dev Explorer from Caution Culture with everything. So, using Dev Explorer, you're an unsurpassed explorer and survivor, both in the wilderness and in dealing with others on your travels, which seems cool.
Yeah.
At first level, you get Canny, which means you choose one of your skill proficiencies and your proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check you make that uses the chosen skill.
Yeah, so if you're going to try to mimic some of the advantages of the natural explorer, you'd want to take the survival or the stealth, most likely the survival skill, and give yourself double proficiency in that. And pretty much any terrain that you're in, you're going to do pretty well in. Then what's the next one?
You also speak, read, and write two additional languages, which is pretty good.
Yeah, so you're getting some of that social interaction skill set that you got from Natural Explorer. Not as many, but it's there. Then
also, more languages.
Yeah, we just said that.
No, but like, if you take this with the previous, like, with the thing beforehand.
If you take favored enemy.
And Dash Explorer, just so many languages.
Yeah, you have so many languages.
Like, I can
like, what languages don't I have?
Yeah.
The DM was like, okay, do you have this language? Like, yeah.
I got them all. We got them all, Kat.
I caught them all. They are all in my Pokeball. I have caught them all.
I've got a dwarf, I've got an owlet, I've got a beholder.
I have them all.
We have a fun class, like class of people like catch enemies.
Would Pokemon trainers be rangers?
They would be. They have animal companions.
I don't think they would be.
They travel through the world.
No, I mean, don't think about it. They travel throughout the world.
Especially
they spend a lot of time in the wilds.
Like, especially like the Pokemon anime, they spend all their time in a forest.
Yeah, like
they're rangers.
In a way, they kind of are.
They're not true rangers though, because they don't do any. They
because it's Pokemon. They suck.
Yeah, actually, Beastmaster.
Pokemon is great.
They're beast companion rangers, which means they're the worst kind of ranger. And
some are Drake Wardens though.
That's true.
Lord,
okay, so at level 6 they get roving. Your walking speed increases by 5, and you gain a climbing speed and a swimming speed equal to your walking speed.
This is so good.
Yeah, and so, like, whereas you could move a lot better with Natural Explorer through certain terrain, you can just move through most terrain a little faster. And that has a lot of advantages, especially in combat.
Oh, yeah.
But that climbing speed and swimming speed is really, really nice for your exploration. It just makes gives your ranger so much more versatility in just about every environment.
Yeah, they can actually do things.
And then their last upgrade is Tireless at 10th level. As an action, you give yourself a number of temporary hit points equal to a D8 plus your Wisdom modifier, minimum of 1 temporary hit point. You can use this action a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. In addition, whenever you finish a short rest, your exhaustion level, if any, is decreased by 1. So, basically, this is kind of leading into the ranger's ability to just make it in the woods. Like, to be that hunter out in the middle of nowhere for long hours stalking their prey.
To be the best Pokemon trainer there ever was.
Exactly. That way you can truly catch them all.
Oh, God. I think I'm referencing Pokemon for the rest of this episode.
Well, that's because we're lame.
I honestly might make my character that way.
Well, there you go.
there's my inspiration.
No, I wanted Pokemon. That's why I brought it up.
You can be Ash Ketchum. All right, let's go on to the next one.
That's why his last name's so weird. It's a pun because he catches them all.
You never got it? That was a terrible pun?
No.
My God, where have you been? Where has your brain been? I thought you were the smart one here.
Oh, see, I don't have one.
I thought he was a lame ass who loved puns as much as I do.
Level 2 fighting style. You adopt a particular style of fighting as your specialty. Choose one of the following options. No, you can't take fighting style option more than once, even if you later get to choose again, usually due to feet or multi-glassing. So you can't say take archery and get it and then take archery once again.
Yeah.
Speaking of archery, you get a +2 bonus to attack rolls you make with ranged weapons.
So this obviously is meant to make your ranger quite good at firing a bow.
Oh yeah.
Then you have defense. While you are wearing armor, you gain a +1 bonus to AC.
And especially since you get proficiency with light armor, you're always going to be wearing armor, you know.
Yeah, so it's not a bad one.
So it's basically just a +1 bonus to AC.
Then dueling.
When you're wielding a melee weapon in one hand and no other weapons, you get +2 to damage rolls with that weapon. So this is like if you're using a shield.
Yeah, and if you're gonna do a sword and shield style, there you go.
You also get 2 weapon fighting when you engage in 2 weapon fighting. You can add your ability modifier to the damage of the second attack.
Actually, let's specify you don't also get you get to choose from.
Oh, you get to choose?
Yeah, you're choosing one of these. Different. Yeah, sorry.
I script.
You choose one of these.
Yeah, we're choosing one of these, so we're going through the 7 options. I think it is.
Or yeah, 4 normal and 3 from Tasha's.
Yeah, we got 3 from Tasha. So Tasha's adds these 3 extra options. We get blind fighting.
You have blind sight with a range of 10 feet. Within that range, you can effectively see anything that isn't behind total cover, even if you're blinded or in darkness. Moreover, you can see an invisible creature within that range, unless the creature successfully hides from you.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good one. Especially if you're going to spend a lot of time in the Underdark and you don't have dark vision, you should have this. Or if you, I don't know, just anticipate being in darkness a lot. I don't know, like, you're doing a gothic horror campaign setting or something like that, you might want to really consider it.
Now, if you want to make your ranger very druidic, because that's a part of the ranger we haven't seen much of yet, the magic and the nature or connection side, you can choose Druidic Warrior.
You learn 2 cantrips of your choice from the Druid spell list. They count as ranger spells for you, and wisdom is your spellcasting ability for them. Whenever you gain a level in this class, you can replace one of these cantrips with another cantrip from the Druid spell list. This fighting style is unique to rangers. It is the only one that is truly unique to rangers.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of these are rangers, fighters, and paladins all have them. There are some of them that only fighters and rangers have. But the druidic warrior only shows up on the rangers list. No one else has it.
You also get from Passion Culture of Everything thrown weapon plating, which is cool. You can draw a weapon that has the thrown property as a part of the attack you make with the weapon. In addition, when you hit with a ranged attack using a thrown weapon, you get a +2 bonus to the damage roll.
I have one thing to say. Boomerang.
Stop well, us.
And this is also good for, like, if you happen to be one of those people who is going to throw a lot of daggers.
Oh, yeah.
If you got, like, a bandolier full of daggers. Because most times, like, when we're playing D&D, for example, we never pay that much attention to drawing your weapon and attacking. But if you really play the rules like you're supposed to, it's going to take your bonus action to draw your weapon and then your action to throw it.
Yeah, but that's just weird, so we don't do that.
We don't usually do that because it doesn't usually matter that much.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be throwing a lot of weapons, you actually need to have this in order to run it correctly, because you should not be able to throw, you know, two or three weapons a turn unless you have this. And you can. So, and a plus two bonus to damage is nice as well. It's more of a style or a flavor build to your character in its own way, even if you are lazy and don't do the rules properly, like we do a lot of times. But
you're welcome, Internet.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, like it's a really cool ability, especially if you have a DM who's a real stickler for the drawing your weapon rules.
I have to say something. So I think Sokka's a ranger.
Sokka's more of a monk.
He travels the world. Well, he has thrown and fighting.
He does have expertise in that, South? In the North Pole?
In the South Pole, in the North Pole. I mean,
no, not really South, because it was different.
I mean, no, but yeah,
he couldn't navigate it?
No, he can navigate.
That was the whole part. He was always confused.
Yeah, he can navigate, like, other places, like, in the world. He was a good...
He did really well. He was a good navigator. He was a good map maker. He had thrown weapons. He learned, he had a fighting style, you could say. He's probably a dueler, you know, dueling fighting style.
He later got a dueler after he threw a weapon.
So the real question is Sokka a hybrid of, like, a monk? Like, did he just take a dual class of a monk?
Why would he be
ranger? Because I see him more as monk.
I know what you're saying, and I kind of originally thought he was a monk, too.
Like, Kensei monk, especially.
Yeah, he was kind of a Kensei monk.
But he doesn't
monk.
Have anything else besides a Kensei.
But in a way, ranger makes a little more sense for Sokka.
I don't really see that, though.
I think it depends on how you really want to play up, you know, how you build it. But I think you could build Sokka as a ranger or a Kensei monk. I think you could be either one.
What subclass?
That's a debate.
Would Sokka be? That's a real question.
That's a real question. I mean, he could also be a fighter, obviously, too.
Well, he's
not that basic.
Yeah, he's.
He doesn't have the hydro class, and he doesn't go skis 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 or whatever. I don't really know. But like, he doesn't have all the scrunchies.
He's not a basic.
He's not the basic one of the group.
He's not a basic beat.
All right. At top of there are seven choices that you get to choose from for your fighting style. At level two, you also get spell casting.
Great spell.
You have learned to use the magical essence of nature to cast spells. You're supposed to be kind of like a druid, but you can also flavor it as if you take a little less of the magical nature spells. You could say that they're just abilities that your ranger has learned. Like, you just know how to do that, like, set snares really well and traps and stuff like that. Because a lot of the ranger spells are just, you know, fancy snares and fancy traps.
Yeah, like, you could, like, absorb elements could be, like, a way of dodging. Alarm could just be, like, setting a trap. Animal friendship could just be knowing how to handle animals.
Yeah, so if you're trying to run a campaign that's a non-magic campaign, and you wanted to have rangers, you could just choose certain kinds of spells.
Yeah, you could reflavor them.
Yeah, and like, maybe change a few elements and make it still, most of the rangers' spells still work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see there's a single,
There's plenty of spells that are very, very spells when it comes to rangers, but...
I think you could flavor each one of them. It'd take a little work, but I think you could reflavor them all.
Yeah. Rangers have spells known and spell slots. They don't need to prepare their spells like some spellcasters, and they can cast any spell they know as long as they have the required spell slots and necessary components, which gives them that versatility that is kind of the hallmark of rangers, and I like that aspect. When it comes to spells known, you know two spells at level two, and those are level one spells. You gain an additional known spell at level three, and every other level after that to a total of 11 known spells at level 19. You can replace one known spell with another spell whenever you gain a level. So you can slowly upgrade your low-level spells to higher-level spells if you want. Spell slots. You have two level 1 spell slots at level 3. You gain a third spell slot at level 3. And you gain your maximum 4th level spell slot at level 5. You have two level 2 spell slots at level 5, and you gain your maximum 3rd level spell slot at level 7.
Wait.
You have two level 3 spell slots at level 9, and you gain your maximum 3rd spell slot at level 11. So you kind of see how they kind of cascade into their spells.
You gain a 3rd level spell slot at level 3?
Yeah, because you originally have two.
You gain a 3rd level spell slot at level 9.
Wait,
I'm confused.
You had wrong up there.
You gain a 3rd spell slot at level 3. You gain your 4th slot. These are all level 1 spells.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's confusing. But it's kind of hard to break that chart down. But I wanted to, since this is not a... It's not a visual medium. I can't just throw the chart up. So
just Google it, people.
You can't always Google it. It's easier. But
Google is not easier.
You have two level 3 spell slots at level 9, and you gain your maximum 3rd spell slot at level 11. You have one level 4 spell slot at level 14, and you gain your 2nd spell slot at level 15. You gain your maximum 3rd spell slot at level 17. And last, you have one level 5 spell slot at level 17, and you gain your maximum 2nd spell level slot of 5th level at level 19.
You know what? I don't understand why people say D&D is a complicated game at all.
I totally understood all of that.
So simple.
The spellcasting ability is Wisdom.
Yeah, it was,
And your spellcasting focus, if you choose, can be a druidic focus. There's a new thing they added in Taj's Cauldron and everything. They didn't really have a spellcasting focus before, but you can use a druidic focus if you want to. That can be a sprig of mistletoe or holly, a wand or a rod made of yew, or a special wood.
Why would you use a useless teenager?
A staff drawn home from a living tree, or an object incorporating feathers, fur, bones, and teeth from sacred animals.
Can't even.
Because
you're killing him.
I'm sorry.
You're killing him. You managed to kill yourself and our father with that one joke. Good job. Ruining our life.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Also at level 2, because, you didn't have enough choices yet. Okay, at level 2, you also get to choose your ranger archetype, which, your subclass. You get choices at 3rd level, obviously, at 7th, 11th, and 15th. We're not going to go over those because we'll go over 3 of them when we do our character creations in the next episode.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ones available. So,
yeah. So
Tyler's going to go over the list. go ahead and say now.
Beastmaster, Drake Warden, Fey Wanderer, Gloomstalker, Horizon Walker, Hunter, Monster Slayer, and Swarmkeeper.
There you go. All right. So that means we should probably take a break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week. Come on, Dark Brennan.
How about you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is...
When they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like... Don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful, and now I'm not in the water, and that's much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
You don't have to know where there's, like, secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to have a good laugh, then we're going to possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
All right, so welcome to the Shameless Plug Break. This is where we point out our stuff. So
we have stuff.
We have stuff. Mostly, we have a Twitter account at Our Dorky, and then we have an Instagram account as Our Dorky Family.
Yes.
Hit us there, either one. Talk us there. Hashtag Three Pillars Cast. Woo, boy.
What is your brain?
My brain is going. All right. We also, if you know, this is a YouTube channel and a podcast. So if you're on the YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're on the podcast, please give us a review. That helps get us awareness out and such like that.
Text a link of us to your mother.
Don't do that.
I mean, if she likes D&D, sure.
To your mother. See how much she's confused.
And, you know, if she's got a lot of followers, send it to her.
God,
we'll take the terrible
people. Terrible people.
We also have a email at ourdorkyfamily@gmail.com. In the YouTube comments, or if you need to hit us on Twitter, Instagram, or in our email. You can ask us questions. You can suggest episode ideas or themes if you want. Anything like that. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us we're doing great. Tell us we're doing bad. Anything.
We like feedback.
Yeah, is good.
And
eventually we'd like to get some of our live play up. But we don't have any of that up at the moment, so.
Yes. We would like to do that.
But we're gonna do that eventually. So
one day.
So either way, that's the end of our break. See you next time. So welcome back to the break. At third level, we're probably at third level.
Oh, I know. At third level,
right? You can choose between Primeval Awareness and Primal Awareness. I love how they made the names sound so similar.
I thought they were. Wait, they're not the same? Hold on.
Yeah.
I thought they were the same.
So, from the Player's Handbook, is Primeval Awareness. You can use your action to spend one Ranger spell slot to focus your awareness on the region around you. For 1 minute per level of the spell slot you expended, you can sense whether the following types of creatures are present within 1 mile of you, or within up to 6 miles if you're in your favorite terrain. So if you choose this, you should probably make sure you change that. Choose the natural explorer instead of the depth explorer.
Yes, you know how to speak.
Oh my, wouldn't it be so hard just to make a level 3 character? You only have 1 hour to make a character for a campaign that's about to start. Alright, it has to be level 3, you choose Ranger. Ugh.
Yeah. Why do you think when I made that 15th level character and I decided to go with Ranger, it took me like 4 hours?
There's so many choices!
Yeah, that's why you are frustrated. You're like, so after 100 years, you're still not done.
And we haven't even mentioned spells!
We have mentioned spells.
But you should have to choose spells without making an actual character. As well.
True.
Well, yeah.
Like,
And since there was a long tangent, I'm going to go ahead and bring us back to where we were. So within 6 miles, if you're in your favorite terrain, and the choice of the types of creatures you can sense are aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead. You know, most of the things. This not feature doesn't reveal the creature's location or number.
It doesn't reveal oozes, though.
Sad. It doesn't. Yeah, it's like, for some reason, you can still fall face first into a gelatinous cube.
I'm safe. There's no aberrations, celestial dragons, elementals, fey fiends, or undead near me. I'm fine.
And then you walk right into the gelatinous cube, and then you die. Because you're an idiot.
Honestly, that's me in every campaign ever. I would be the dumb ranger. Let's be honest.
So
that'd be a really fun character. Like, I'm a ranger. I'm supposed to be the perfectly tracking, but I always, like, run into, like all
I'm
that
the enemies. Dumbest ranger. Call me Brock.
Dad, I am worried about you ruining my childhood.
The only thing Brock says is that, you know, scavenging or foraging for food. That's all he's good at for.
Alright, so alternately you can choose
Rockhead.
The primal awareness from Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, which I'll describe to you in a few minutes. Okay. Primal awareness. You can focus your awareness to the interconnection of nature. You earn additional spells when you reach certain levels in this class. If you don't already know them, these spells don't count against the number of ranger spells you know. So the primal awareness spells are... At 3rd level, speak with animals. 5th level, beast sense. 9th level, speak with plants. 13th level, locate creature. And 17th level, commune with nature. You can cast each of these spells once without expending a spell slot. And once you cast a spell in this way, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest. So, these abilities are pretty different.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like the second one better, to be honest. But in certain campaigns, being able to sense if there's certain creature types around you for only one spell slot is kind of good. I don't know why you want to spend your 5th level spell slot for 5 minutes to sense creatures. I don't think that'd be worth it. I'd rather just spend 1 level spell slots. We don't get that many, but you know what I mean. I'd rather spend more of other levels. It's not a bad one. I like the second one ability, the primal awareness, because you get to cast more spells for free.
Yeah.
You know, one of each level for free each day. They're very specific spells, but
they're not bad ones. There should be like a subclass or a feat or something that allows that turn spell slot level. Instead of having like certain spell slots, they all get combined together and like to cast a. So you just get, like, all these, spell, like, points. And you can cast the 1st level spell, that'd just be 1, but you cast, like, a 5th level spell, that'd be 5. To be, like, an MP system.
Yeah, there's a whole system you can choose. It's in the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Oh, that's
guide.
A thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can change the entire spell slot system into an MP spell system. They have all the rules for it in the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Ah.
So if you'd rather do a Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest style MP system, you can do that instead.
Now, 4th levels, rangers get a very, very unique ability that no other subclass gets. It gets a feat or ability score improvement. This is extremely unique.
Yes, completely. Except it's not. And
also, with Tasha's Cauldron, everything you get martial versatility. Whenever you reach a level in this class that grants the ability score improvement feature, you can replace a fighting style, with another one available to rangers, replace it with events, a shift of focus in your martial practice.
So going back to our Sokka example.
Sokka!
At 1st level, or a 2nd level, Sokka would have chosen the throwing weapon fighting style. You know, because boomerang.
Boomerang.
But then, later on, in Season 3... When he visits the swordmaster, was it Jiraiya?
I don't know.
I cannot remember what the swordmaster's name is.
Yeah, Jiraiya.
That's the master from Naruto.
No, that is the master from Naruto.
Yeah, it is the master from Naruto.
We're getting
So, Master Something.
The dry is funnier. I can imagine that.
Sokka and Master Jiraiya would be a really hilarious thought. Sorry.
They have the same name, though.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think they do.
They do.
How
do you look it up?
It starts with a J. Either way.
Josephine?
No.
I don't know. I don't think you have J names.
Okay, so either way, Sokka would have basically would have the throwing weapon style at level 2, but then say at level like 4 or 8 when Sokka got powered up later on, you know, maybe he would have switched it out for the dueling fighting style instead. Yeah. You know?
Oh, wow.
That could be an example of, like, as your character progresses in time, you may just change how you do things.
Level 5, you can you get an extra attack, you can attack twice instead of once on the attack action on your turn.
And that's the only time the Rangers get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Barbarians and Fighters get it, like, multiple times.
Yeah, but Rangers, Paladins, and other certain subclasses of other...
Oh, Monk.
And Monk.
Lightseer with Lightseeing Wizard.
Yeah, but it basically subclasses of other classes.
Yeah.
Where it comes up. It's not built in. It's built into the Paladin and such. All right, now level 8.
So at level 8, you get Lance Stride. You can move through non-magical difficult terrain at the cost of no extra movement. You can also pass through non-magical plant without being slowed by them and without taking damage from them. They have Thorns, Visor, some more hazards. In addition, you will have advantage on saving throws against plants that are magically created or manipulated to impede movement, such as those created by the Entangle spell.
Nice!
Yeah, which is really good.
Yeah.
So it's not like Rangers are bad. They're just really difficult to plan out in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then at level 10, you get choose Hide in Plain Sight or Nature's Veil. Hide in Plain Sight, you can spend 1 minute creating camouflage for yourself. Must have access to fresh mud, dirt, plants, soot, and other naturally occurring materials, which... with which to create your camouflage. Once your camouflage is away, you try to hide yourself by pressing yourself against a solid surface, such as a tree or a wall, that is at least tall and wide as you are. You have plus 10 bonus to stealth checks as long as you remain there without moving or taking actions. Once you move or take an action or a reaction, you must camouflage yourself again to gain the benefit. So basically, you can go into a tavern, tuck yourself in shit, and no one will notice you.
No, but if you went into a tavern and covered yourself in booze and bar rags, maybe.
No, it says you have to have dirt, fresh mud, plants, and other naturally occurring materials.
Yeah, wine is, like, alcohol is natural. Don't test me on this.
I get you're saying the rules don't specifically state that you have to be someplace where the camouflage makes sense, but the camouflage probably needs to make sense. I do like your pretty obvious. So, all right.
This is natural.
So, Nature's Veil is the alternative you can take.
You draw your powers of nature to hide yourself from view briefly. I'm getting so many druid vibes from these Tasha's Falchion and everything.
Yeah.
Type stuff. It's even Tasha's, but even less. As a bonus action, you can magically become invisible, along with any equipment you were wearing or carrying until the start of your next turn. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all extended uses when you finish a long rest. So this is a debate. If you're carrying a teammate, will they go invisible too?
It doesn't... Is your teammate equipment?
They have equipment.
Well, I mean, it depends.
wait. Giant gnome. If you have a little tiny gnome in your hands, will it go invisible?
Okay, you know, I have the best idea. Okay, so since I'm a ranger, you're carrying like a
a paladin in like full, or yeah, a paladin in like full heavy armor, a centaur ranger. Centaur uses his ability to turn invisible. It would turn their equipment and the paladin's equipment invisible. So the paladin would just look like a floating dude.
I mean, I suppose if you equip your paladin to your back as a centaur ranger, you could possibly do that. But no, in general, I would say probably not. But, you know, as long as you conceivably consider it your equipment, you could probably hide with a lot of things. If it's going to encumber you, it's going to restrict your ability to hide. So it's probably going to make it difficult to do things.
So you could say grab some marble and say, hey, this is now part of my equipment, and then it goes invisible.
Possibly, but then as soon as you hit somebody with it, you become visible.
That's fine.
Okay. So level 14.
Killing people with marble.
Well, no, actually, I have to go back to that. So the hide in plain sight is good if you're going to be doing a lot of
sneaking
around in nature, especially
sneaking around that log.
Yeah, and you gotta sneak around that log. And if you're gonna be in areas for a long time and you have the time to prepare yourself for it, it's nice. You can use it as many times as you want. I mean, it takes a long time, so I don't know.
It's not a reaction. It's good.
The nature's veil. Well, like you said, it feels more druidic. It's more of a, you can use it a lot faster, and but it has a limited number of uses. Most of the time, unless it feels flavorfully important to use hide in plain sight, I would probably choose the nature's veil, to be honest. I think it's just a little more useful.
I think it's funny. I still think it's funny that you can just, like, go into, like, a fancy place, cover yourself with shit, and no one knows you.
Wine is natural. Just pour a bunch of wine on you.
Insects are natural. Just pour a bunch of cockroaches on you.
Yeah!
You can hide in the streets of New York City. Strap two rats to your face, and you're ready to go.
yeah. I can't breathe. Hold up. It's like one of those rats wanted to cook, though. I don't know why. He said two rats and he saw Ratatouille. Anyway.
One in the hat and one in the pants.
Level 14. Vanish. You can use a hide action as a bonus action on your turn. Also, you can't be tracked by not on magical means unless you choose to leave the trail.
Nice.
Rogue gets us.
A rogue gets us, what, level 3, I think it is? Or level 2. You get the hide as a bonus action. So, it takes a long time for you to get it. It feels a little late.
Yeah.
For level 14 ability. The not track, you can't be tracked by non-magical means unless you choose to leave a trail. That feels like a level 14 ability, in a way. Yeah. I just think they should have paired it with a little more.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like the hide action as a bonus action is quite good enough to be a level 14 ability.
No, really not.
It's a good ability.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it. But I think that rangers should have it. I just think they should maybe have gotten that at lower levels and maybe had something a little more impactful at level 14.
Something cooler.
Yeah, rogues get it at level 2, and they also, and it's not just hide, they also get to dash and disengage the bonus action.
Yeah, and I think that maybe they should get hide and dodge or something, you know?
Dodge is a bonus action?
Or maybe a little stronger, like, okay, you get the hide action as a bonus action, you can't be checked except by non-magical means, and maybe, like, a bonus to your stealth or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, like, it feels a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
To me.
So.
Level 18 is feral senses. You gain a preternatural senses that help you fight creatures you can't see. When you attack a creature you can't see, your inability to see it doesn't impose disadvantage and your attack rolls against it. It doesn't pose disadvantage on your attack roll against it. You're also aware of the location of any invisible creature within 30 feet of you.
So, why would you take line fighting? Like, the second you level up again, you just remove
line fighting. Well, yeah, you get this at level 18. I think there's more to this ability.
Yes, there is.
Oh.
Oh, well, it's just... Provided that it isn't hidden from you and aren't blinded or deafened. That's a big deal.
It's kind of obvious.
But level 19, you get to choose another feat, which means you can change your fighting style at level 19.
Yeah.
If you want to. If you have blind fighting. But between level 2 and level 18 is a pretty big gap. So it would have been worth taking the blind fighting at level 2 if you thought that was necessary.
Oh, yeah. Or level 4, 8, 12, or 16.
Exactly.
Okay, so level 20, Bow Slayer. Or you become an unparalleled hunter of your enemies. Yeah. Once on each of your turns, you add your wisdom modifier to an attack roll or the damage roll of an attack you make against one of your favorite enemy, either from the favorite foe or favorite enemy features. You can choose to use this feature before or after the roll, but before any effects of the roll are applied.
Yeah, so... This is nice. If you're having trouble hitting something, you can add that wisdom modifier. Or if you're not having trouble hitting it, you can add some more damage on each of your strikes.
This is kind of weak for level 20.
Well,
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I mean, it's an upgrade on your this level on your level 2 ability. I mean, I get what you're saying. It feels a little weak, but like at the same time.
Good.
It's still pretty good. I've seen worse. But
Rogue gets to turn any roll into just a 20 at will. Druid gets to wild shape unlimited time.
At the beginning, this ranger is probably really strong. So it doesn't need to get the super strong ability.
Rangers are never strong. What are you talking about? Have you played
it? Because nobody has ever made it good. Because they don't understand the depths. And now that we all understand it, mostly.
Well, we understand it.
I've just seen the words for the first time today.
I didn't actually know what half of those things were until I saw them, like, not even... I think an hour and a half ago.
Well, either way. I mean, I get what you're saying. I like the Foe Slayer.
Yeah, I like it too.
I think it should have had an extra ness to it. Like, if it had given you a wisdom modifier to your attack, to your damage, and given you advantage on your attack roll, I think it would have been a little more powerful.
Yeah.
It would have been way powerful.
But since you use it on each of your turns, that'd been a little too much.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they're trying to find the balance is, okay, so you have the favored foe. That lasts for a minute if you hold your concentration. That means you can make 10 attack rolls or damage rolls. Well, actually, because you have your bonus attack, it's 20 attack rolls. And okay. So 10. 10 attack rolls. Yeah. Good point. So 10 attack rolls, you get to add your wisdom modifier, which at this point should probably be close to plus 4 or plus 5.
I feel plus 4 because plus 5 is probably going to be dex.
Probably. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, roughly 40 extra damage over a minute.
A wizard can do that in a single fireball.
Oh, I know. And a fighter can do it in a single.
Yeah, wizards have no health.
But at this point, they're fine. It's level 20. A level 20 ability should be earth-shaking. And this doesn't feel earth-shattering.
A level 20 wizard gets to cast two third-level spells at will. So basically, fireballs and lightning bolts all day.
Well, at level 20, they can cast Wish. It doesn't matter. But
level 20 wizards are gods.
I don't know. I do feel like this could be a little more powerful. I don't know how.
Yeah, because anything that you try to add that you can think of makes it too strong.
Yeah.
So this is probably the best they could do. Because they can't add anything else.
Well, double your wisdom modifier.
I don't know. Maybe if you could add it to your attack roll and your damage roll.
That could work.
That might work. Once per turn.
Maybe.
It'd be a little stronger.
A little bit.
I don't know. Either way, it's there. Like we've always said before, it's level 20. No one plays level 20 characters.
Unless they want to do a stupid one shot where nothing really matters.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
One shots are fun,
but yeah, it's, I don't know, it's there, it's something. It, like we said before, it's hard to come up with something that doesn't make it too powerful. But, there you go. Either way, that's the Ranger. Is there anything else you guys want to say?
Nope, that's not really the Ranger.
Next time, we'll be going over our characters we made. For the Ranger, so, see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So basically you're saying animal handling would help you date a man better.
Nothing can help you date a man better.
They're animals, though.
You're not wrong.
So speaking of animals, let's go on talk about the Ranger.
That's a great segue.
I love you guys. So, the stereotypical rogues. You know, the sneaky ones, the one you don't do any heavy lifting. They're like, oh, I'll just sneak my way around this log. Instead of, you know, lifting it up. And they're like, I'll just jump around it.
Sneak around the log.
Get that into a shirt. If you ever get popular enough that we can get shirts.
I'm a Ranger. I sneak around logs.
No, it was a rogue. Rogue sneak around logs.
Sorry. I'm a rogue. I sneak around that log so I don't have to fight.
Rogue versus log. Log wins.
It's log.
Like or subscribe, or else.
Holler, stop threatening people.
Share with your friends and family. Or we will pee on your couch.
Oh my god, you guys are all terrible people, and I wish I never knew you.
Well, yeah.